Again, thank you again, we can't say it enough, to see what the Lord did and just the opportunity, even just to think back, just on the week that we were there and just the opportunity to see what you did as a church. And again, we just want to say thank you again for everything, all the money that was raised, all the prayer, more than anything, the prayer that was put into it. Again, it's just been such a blessing, even hearing some of the reports back from Brother Don and Brother Chitty. Again, as I mentioned, even on Sunday night, we made an impact on their church. All right, and that's a special blessing. I'm going to ask Elijah to go in and come up. He was going to be one of the last ones here the other day, but he's going to go in and come up and give his testimony. And what I have asked all of them, or if I didn't get a chance to ask you, is we want to get as many testimonies in as we possibly can. So first of all, speak up. That's a big thing, to make sure that everyone can hear, particularly to the back. Talk to the back wall, but also keep it short, sweet, and spiritual. All right? So go ahead.
Can everyone hear? I know the other night was a problem. That was good. All right. So first off, I want to say thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to go out and take this trip. It was incredible. Thank my dad for taking us out there and all the other adults that came. But I really want to thank you as a church for paying for everything and providing for us to go out there. And, I mean, we could not have done it if y'all hadn't invested the money and prayers that y'all did. And out there, it was a real blessing. We were able to do work, and the work was fun. It was actually easier than what Brother Hutchison makes me do on maintenance. So that was good. I like Brother Chitty as a boss a lot better than him. But then we got to go out soul winning, and that was awesome. I'm not going to get all to it now, but I did get chased by two man-eating dogs. If you want to hear the exciting version of the story, you can ask Miss Gillian. But the biggest blessing was getting to go out on the bus routes on Sunday, and on Saturday, we went out with them visiting, and the first door my mom talked to, she got a bus prospect. And for any of you that have worked on buses before, you know, most of the time when you get a bus prospect, it takes a few weeks or at least a while for them to actually come to church. But those three boys, they all came that Sunday morning. And that alone was a blessing, just to see that so fast and see them come on that Sunday. And they came, and, you know, I tried talking to them once they got on the bus, tried just opening up a conversation, talk about sports, whatever. But, I mean, there was just nothing. They're all super shy, and, I mean, I just couldn't get a conversation going with them. So then I went to church, and it was a blessing. I got to help out in one of the junior churches, and that was a blessing and a great experience to help them there. And then we got back on the bus, and, you know, those boys got back on. And I wanted to try and talk to them again because I knew I should. But I kept telling myself, you know, they didn't want to talk this morning. I don't want to scare them, you know. I don't want to be weird. So then I sat down, didn't talk to them. And then my dad mentioned something to me. He was like, you know, if you're going to talk to these boys, you need to talk to them now. So I walked up, and I started trying to talk to them, you know, what they learned about that day. And still, they're still shy, and, you know, at first I wanted to stop, but it was like I kept talking to them, and, I mean, I started off with just explaining to them that what the Bible is. You know, one of the ladies had explained that out there's really no understanding of Christianity and just basic stuff that we understand as far as the Bible and Jesus. So then I started off there, and then, I mean, God just took over. I was saying stuff that I'd never thought of before in that way. I'd never, you know, heard these illustrations, and God was just like giving me stuff that it was all Him, just giving me stuff to explain to them in ways they would understand. And I went back through each thing several times, and at the end went back through twice, and it seemed like they really understood it. So then but I didn't want them all to just pray together as a group and it'd be one of them leading the other two or me leading all three. I want them each pray individually, you know, because I didn't want the peer pressure to be why they did it. But so then I was like, you know, you're going to pray, and then you're going to pray, but all separately. So I was like, okay, now you can pray. And then all of a sudden they just bowed their head and started praying by themselves, you know. And, I mean, just to see the looks on their face, you know, when they opened their eyes, they're smiling, just to see it was just a real blessing. And so, yeah, that was definitely my favorite part of the week, just to see those three boys get saved. So once again, thank you, church, for allowing us to be able to go out, and amen.
Brother Noah, if you want to go ahead and come up. That was a special blessing for me because I was driving the bus and it was happening like right behind me in my ear. And oftentimes, obviously, the boys will come out with me soul winning and door knocking, and there's things that he was saying that I don't normally say. So it's like, I know he doesn't normally say it, and it's always a, you could tell that just God was working, right? You can tell just the way that the way the Lord worked through all that. That evening I preached on I Choose to Be a Christian, and just making the choice. Oftentimes we're challenged to make a choice to do something for God or to not do something for God. And unfortunately, too often we don't choose God. Right. Too often we choose our own convenience, right, instead of choosing Christ. And in that case, I could kind of see it twirling in his head a little bit when I said, if you're going to talk to these boys, now's the time because I'm going to be dropping them off here soon. And you can see the turmoil and then him step out. And then you can kind of, from that point forward, you can see the Lord work. And it was just a special blessing for me to be able to see it kind of right there over my shoulder or in the mirror and to hear it all at the same time. You don't often get the chance to do that. So it was a blessing. Brother Noah, go and give us a testimony.
Can y'all hear me?
There you go.
Hello? Hello?
Speak more? Up, man. Preach.
More up? I don't know, man. All right. I'm Noah Hipley, as you know. When I heard about this event coming up, I was still recovering from Soul Winning Marathon, and I didn't really want to go because to me it felt like a stretch and just because I was too tired. But I prayed and I just knew deep in my heart this is what I needed. And when I heard that my dad wanted to go, it just made me even more want to go. So I was definitely anxious the whole entire time, but I was more excited about how God would use me and what he would show me and especially what I would leave with from that trip. And I just can't tell you how thankful I am to come and just experience this trip with the church family and just especially my dad. You know, I love my time with him and to go serve with him and work with the stuff. Just go work with him and go soul winning with him was just amazing. But what just felt unreal was just going to the Grand Canyon with him. You know, we don't get to see these things like that, especially for him. And just to see God's creation is just a moment I'll never forget, you know. And just to see the mountains and the land and animals and everything, there was like so many things I just didn't even know existed. You know, I was just like, whoa, you know, that can't be real. But the Lord did use me that week to lead two souls that week. And I just wanted to be the best example I could to everybody and just be a great example. That's all I prayed for coming up to this trip. And my soul winning partner was Jonathan Peach, which he was a great partner, but the last day of soul winning, I got to go with my dad, so that was, like, really amazing. You know, in the first door we got to knock on, like, literally, like, we get dropped off, we knock on a door. My dad got to lead a lady, and her three kids got to come, or hopefully got to come, because they didn't ride the bus, but I still got to share that moment with my dad, you know, and that made me so happy. And I just love the services and singing and people there, man. Like, everything just touched me, though. What I said before to some of my friends is that, like, when you're so far away from, like, your comfort zone and just a whole different area, everything over there just becomes louder, you know, and everything just spoke, the hymns, the preaching, everything, and Pastor Chitty just really preached a message about having a heartbeat. You know, everybody would have a heartbeat for, like, I don't know, music or something, but a lot of people wouldn't have a heartbeat for God, and that's just what we need, and I'm just very thankful for the Verselises and Pastor Chitty and Pastor Parsons and Mr. and Mrs. Carter. And I've made so many memories that week that I'll just never forget. And I just can't tell you how happy I am. And whatever the next thing is, I'm just going to be ready for it, you know.
Amen. Brother Hipley, if you want to go ahead and come up. And again, one of the special blessings, particularly with this missions trip, oftentimes when you do a missions trip, it's either a group of teenagers and a few adults. In this case, you know, we had 30 teenagers, and praise the Lord for that, but we also had close to 30 adults, and many of them with family members, or whether it be fathers, mothers, and family just in general. It was a special opportunity for them to serve with one another, and I think that was a special blessing for me to be able to see it and just be a part of it. Here you have Brother Hipley. He worked hard all week long, and I knew I needed to get him out soul winning, all right? So we were scheduled to do more work, and I said, Brother Chitty, listen, this is speaking to Chitty Jr., Don Jr., we've been working a lot this week. I need to get another group out soul winning, all right? There's that other church here, let them work, right? Let them work. We want to go out and do some soul winning. He's like, that sounds fine with me, brother. I'll give you an area and you just go out. And praise the Lord. I knew Brother Hipley particularly. He was itching to get out there. He was doing flooring all week and everything, but he was itching to go out soul winning. So, Brother Hipley.
Jeffrey Hipley, and I just want to begin by saying that, you know, Jesus said, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest.
Amen.
And didn't take long to get out there to see that there was a need there. When you rode the on the bus Sunday morning, I noticed also coming back through Arizona on Tuesday afternoon, and even when we went back to the airport on Thursday morning, I noticed the need was there. There was natives, drunkards, lying by the roadside. And I got so choked up listening to Brother Hester sing here just a few minutes ago, you know, because I want to begin by saying that I thank God for his amazing grace.
Amen.
Thank God that he saved me from my sin and from my own pit of destruction of alcohol. And so I just want to thank God for his amazing grace. The second thing I want to say is I want to thank Pastor Parsons for the opportunity to be able to go and be able to go on this trip. I also want to thank the church family. You know, I when he stood up here and told on that Wednesday night about this opportunity, I knew right away I wanted to be a part of this. And I hadn't been anywhere in a long time. Been several years since I've gone anywhere, and I was excited about this opportunity, and I took that brochure to my boss's office the next morning, the Thursday morning, and I knew I had kind of a red flag to deal with because this is going to overlap the 4th of July, and it's mandatory that I be here working here in the city and here. But my boss allowed me to go, and then when I went in the next day after that, he told me that there was a freeze on the overtime. And so I knew it was going to take a little bit of faith to be able to, you know, make this trip happen. And so I want to thank the church family for everybody who helped support my son and me to be able to go. And it really was a life experience. Like my son said, that you'll never forget. I'll take this with me for the rest of my life. It was that special to me personally. And I want to say that, you know, there's a couple of things I want to kind of mention about the trip itself. And, you know, Saturday, as Brother Vassellis mentioned, I was working with doing some trim work, cutting up some of the flooring and whatever. And Saturday afternoon, we were working out there at the church. And Brother Chitty, at one time, I was kind of moving in and out of the building at different times, and he said, I want all you ladies to get in here. I want to tell you all something. And so he was trying to get all the ladies right there in his office, and somebody told him, he said, tell that man out there on that saw to get in here. I got something I want him to hear, too. And so I went on in there, and Mrs. Benicourt told a little bit about this story he told Sunday night about him being wounded in Vietnam. And so bad was the wound, it tore off a large part of his arm, and he was presumed dead, wrapped up in a body bag. And only by the grace of God, if he had probably been anywhere lower on that pile than where he was at, he'd probably gone out to eternity as a lost man. But God used that to lead him to faith in Christ. It was after that he got saved. And he said after he got saved that, you know, he came to a place of bitterness in his life. And in that lesson, through that bitterness, God had to teach him a hard lesson on forgiveness. And so, after that, he had been saved by this time, and he went on, took a call to preach the gospel, but his wife remained faithful. He got away from the Lord, quit serving the Lord for a while, and then, you know, God had to teach him a hard lesson on the unrelenting service to the will of God. And boy, I tell you, when I went back outside, it took me a while to get my composure and and kind of be able to read that measuring tape to see what I needed to do, because it was just a tremendous story he told. And he's not a storyteller. He's a man with a message. And it was just unbelievable, some of the things that he said, but they were a message that lodged in my heart. Another thing that I want to mention is something that Noah just mentioned, and he talked about going up to the Grand Canyon, and it's an awesome sight. You can't walk out there and see that and not know there's a God.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah, I mean, history, pictures, even the pictures I took on my phone don't even do any justice to seeing that. And it was a blessing to me, because I got to be able to walk several of the points with my son. It was really special to have that time with him alone like that, just as he alluded to, you know. And it really kind of took me back in my mind when me and my father used to walk along the Gunpowder Falls on the east side of Baltimore, you know. And it was just a special moment of just the father and the son, and just an incredible moment that just there with God and with your son like that, it was a blessing to me. But the third thing I just want to mention is that, you know, I was so excited. I hadn't had a chance to go out and knock on doors until Wednesday. We were pretty well trying to get accomplished what we wanted to do. And I told Brother Vercellus I wanted to get out there and have an opportunity to knock on doors. And I was thrilled to death to find out that he was going to team me up with my son. And the first door we knocked on, we were able to lead a woman to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And not only did that woman receive Christ, but she asked me, she said, does your church have a bus ministry? I said, yes, ma'am, it does. And so I took her name, the name of the three children, her phone number, and Lord willing, the church there will pick them up. But there was three souls right there that could come to church. The lady explained to me she was so ripe to receive Christ, and she said that she knows she ought to be in church, but her work, her situation, her single way of life has kind of got her hindered. And so, but hopefully, Lord willing, those young children will get on that bus and get into the church there. And I guess there is one other thing I'd like to say. I just want to say how much I really appreciated Joseph Peach on this trip. You know, we got on the plane, and first of all, when this trip first started, I was excited about it, because we were going to go out on a bus or a van or something. I wasn't crazy about the airplane thing. So that all kind of changed, you know. There's some things that's going to require my faith in this after I got in, you know. And so Joseph sat on next to me on the plane going out there, and the plane ride wasn't that bad. And he just kind of kept my attention and kept my you know, he's talked to me the whole time, and he was sharing his snacks with me, and I mean, just a lovable guy. I mean, just great. And every morning I get up early and try to find a quiet place to read the Word of God, and the only place I could find was back in the chow hall. Every morning he'd come in there, and he would just quietly come up, check my coffee cup, pick it up, go back up there and fill it up, bring it back to me. And he was just that way all week long. Amen. We got on the plane, we were coming back, and that taking up out of Albuquerque was kind of rough. Matter of fact, we sat there and we watched the luggage kind of get loaded up there where we were sitting at, and that one thud you all heard, that was all that luggage hitting, slamming right underneath of us. And I'm sitting there, I'm strapped in as tight as I can get. I'm holding on to both, you know, armrests, you know, and Joe's is sitting next to me, and he's telling me with his head bobbing up, it's going to be okay, Brother Hipley. The pilot's got this. We're just going to get up there to our altitude, and it's going to level off, and everything's going to be just fine. And I just want to say tonight that, Joseph, I don't know where you're sitting at, but my dear friend, I want you to know I love him in the Lord, my friend. Amen. I appreciate how you were to me, my son, on this trip. I want to thank the church for all of its prayers, all of its encouragement, everything that you've all been doing for my son, Noah. Love you all dearly, and thank God for you.
Dina, if you want to go ahead and come up. Again, a special thing about the trip was having so many teenagers and adults in there, and it was, in many cases, part of the excitement was also the interaction between the two. Obviously, some of them have their own children there. Some of them don't have their own children there, so it was a special time there, but it was a blessing just to hear some of the testimonies of the adults, of the teenagers, and just of a testimony that they had with one another. So praise the Lord. Dina, go ahead and give us a testimony.
Okay. Hi, my name is Dina. This was my first mission trip, and I've been coming to this church for like 8 years now, and I would have never, ever, ever, ever thought I would actually go on a mission trip. And one of the things that definitely stuck out to me was, and I mentioned it because we did testimonies over at New Mexico when we were around the bonfire and everything like that, but one thing that I realized was how much music actually matters. And I would hear like Brother James always speak about, oh, music this, it affects your heart this way, but actually like I saw how much it works at New Mexico especially, and even here as well, because Miss Slate, one of, I think it was Jenna, she mentioned about how a group of us went to a nursing home, and we went to actually two, and we sang at two, and at one of them actually, when we sang at it, you could see how much like the older people, like how much they were lonely and how much they deserve somebody to talk to them, deserve somebody to actually actually be next to them. Actually, you know, they're human too, so they want human interaction. And we got to sing with them, and they you could see how much it was working in their heart. They started singing with us, they started putting their hands in the air and like saying amen, and it just touched my heart. And another thing that helped me realize how much music is important is when we sang actually at church, I think it was Sunday night, and we sang two songs. It was I Choose to Be a Christian and Blessed Assurance. And like it really touched my heart. Like I saw Miss Slavens crying, I saw Miss Heather crying, I saw other people at the church crying. And like there was this lady who sat behind me, and after the church service she looked at me and she was crying, she was in tears, she's like, thank you so much for singing for us, it was a true blessing. And that really, really, really touched my heart. And another thing that stood out to me was Brother James when he was talking about different things like scrubbing the floors, cleaning the bathrooms, and all that stuff like that. Like when we had to do it, I didn't mind doing it, however I was like, why are we doing this? But then he was like, listen, he was like, anything you do for the church to help the church, it just helps more souls get saved and more souls actually come to church. And that helped me for the rest of the week, change my mindset. Like, I scrubbed the floors. I was so happy. I was like, I loved it. And I didn't mind anymore. And I'm thankful that he said that to me. And another thing was the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon, I would have never thought I would ever go to the Grand Canyon. It was so, 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 so beautiful. And like how Brother Hipley was talking about how the pictures don't give it justice. It's like, it's amazing. And Brother James, because I went with his group, he was talking about how like this like happened, like most likely during the flood time when the flood happened and everything. And I was just like, wow, it was really big and it was amazing. And I'm so just thankful that I was able to come, and just seeing the joy of the faces on the kids on the church bus, it just made me become even more grateful for as much as they have and as much as I have here, because every little thing matters. And that's what one thing that stuck out to me. And I just want to say thank you to Miss Heather and Brother James. They really made this trip amazing. Brother Parsons and Miss Parsons and just the whole church, because like I said, I would have never thought I would actually go on a mission trip, and I'm just very, very thankful. Thank you.
Thank you. Brother Stanek, why don't you go ahead and come up? You can start off for your family. Again, one of the blessings, like I mentioned, is just having the families to come up. And one that was unexpected was actually the Staneks, Brother and Mrs. Stanek, to come along with us. And it was a special blessing to have that. It was a blessing to be able to have them to kind of lean on as well. I told them when we did our travel groups, we broke up everyone into 6 or 7 teams. And I said, I need you to make sure if I die or if I never come back, you're the one in charge, all right? So it was a special blessing to know that he could take care of that. Brother Stanek.
Well, there's so many things that we could talk about on this trip. Hard to kind of put them all into a few words. It was exciting. It was amazing. And like Brother James said, wasn't sure I was going to be able to make it, work schedule, things like that, it's hard to take a week off. But boy, did we pack a lot into it. And it was exciting. And, you know, looking around when we got into the lunchroom right over here at Fellowship Hall, I saw that many adults, that many kids, and I thought, this is going to be like herding cats, trying to get through an airport, trying to get over here and trying to get things done. But I thought of the verse once we got there in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. It says, so built we the wall, and the half was joined, or the wall was joined to the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. I'm so proud of my church, so proud of the people that went. Amen. The guys jumped in, they started working. Nobody really had to tell us what to do. We just had a mind to work and we got it done. The ladies, they jumped in, did their things. All the kids got out there. And before you know it, we had accomplished quite a number of tasks that they didn't think we'd do. But it was just, we had that mind to work. There was something to accomplish there. A lot of them got to go out and witness, got to go out and lead people to the Lord. And there was a few times where I really wanted to pull away and say, hey, I'd like to go out there and do this. But I'm also reminded we've all got a job to do. And if the church isn't right, if things aren't repaired, if vans aren't running, if AC isn't running, people aren't going to come. People aren't going to do these things. They're not going to show up. So we each one had that job. And I was just glad to see everybody did it. There's challenges along the way. There's problems that come along. But the Lord was in it. And we knew that from the get-go because the devil was into it as well. He was trying to stop that bus and delay us on things. So you knew that God was going to be there if we would do what we're supposed to. So I was proud. Like I said, I was glad to go with my family, experience that. They're a church that has been decimated by COVID and different things out there, and glad that we could help them, that we could serve, and at the end of the day, it's all for God's glory anyways. Amen. And I think as a church, we accomplished that. So church, you had a hand in that, the money you gave, the prayers that you gave us, we did a ton. We did a ton out there. So I am glad of that, from the singing to the preaching to the work, to the visitations, to those that were saved, and just the encouragement I hope that we gave, and they encouraged us as well. So proud to do it. Thank you, church, and appreciate it. Thanks.
Ms. Kelly, if you want to come up. Again, like Brother Steve mentioned, just how much was accomplished. Again, both Father Chitty and Chitty Jr., both of them were just shocked at how much we got accomplished. Again, when he said three days work in one day. And I mean, we got in the night before at 1:30, and we were up ready to go by 8 o'clock in our place to have breakfast. And I'm sure that was welcomed, but also to get to work right afterwards. Not just the adults, but also the teenagers, just how much work was done out there. Again, what an impact that it made on the church. Ms. Kelly.
Church, for all that you invested beforehand, and just Pastor Parsons, just for having that vision and desire for us to go out there. And then I just kind of want to brag on the Verselluses. They're always like 10 steps ahead, you know, in just their preparation and planning. And we went to the meeting and they had any information you needed, all the teams, and it was just nice for it to be so organized like that. Well, you know, luggage can get lost and stuff, so I made sure I had a big glittery thing on my suitcase so if it got lost. And we get there, and they have these little pink little tabs. Elijah and Slavens were working on putting them on, and so I got to take off my little glittery bow. And I thought, well, that's really neat, because it kind of, like, our luggage is going to stick out because we all had these little pink bands on it. But I didn't realize how valuable it was going to be when the bus broke down. The vans, you know, plugged along. So we got there, like, our two van loads with 60 people's worth of luggage, and we had to unload it all. And everybody's name was on the luggage. So quickly, everybody just started working, putting them into the groups. So when the groups did arrive, everything just went so smoothly. So you could just see God's hand all along the way, just giving those ideas to Brother Verselis and, you know, having that, you know, available and ready. And it was also easy getting the luggage, because we can't all stand up there and get our luggage, so people would see somebody's name and yank it off, you know, and call out, you know, and get their luggage. And even getting there that night, it was nice, because we could just call out, come get your luggage that way. So anyways, it seemed like a little thing, but it was a big thing, helping things move along and be organized. But the first day, people started working, and then Brother Chitty, he just said he wanted to take, I don't know who was with me, but he took us, and he said he was going to give us a tour. And so I really enjoyed that, and he kind of went around to the different rooms and showing us things, and then he showed us a wall where it was kind of like their little wall of faith, and it was just special people that had been there from the beginning, and they were still there faithful in the church. And I thought that was really neat seeing that, and he was talking about each one of those. Well, the next day when we went out on bus visitation on Saturday, there was a older lady sitting by herself, so I just went and sat by her and started talking with her. So then she asked if she could go out with Grace and I on our team. So we're like, oh, sure, come along. So they do things a little bit different than we do. So that was, I just had to tell Grace a couple times, like, Grace, just don't say anything. We're just going to go along with whatever she does, you know, because it was a little bit different than we were used to. And there's people leaving us too, right, Grace? She's like, they're not supposed to leave us. I'm going to tell them. I'm like, oh, no, don't say anything. We're just going to be by ourselves. But everything was good. But anyways, when I started talking to that lady, I mean, the picture, she was a lot younger, and now she's this older woman. And so when she told me her name, I'm like, you're Miss Mimi? Like, you're on the wall. And so she's like, yeah, that's me. And so then she asked if I could help her in her class. And so I was, you know, oh, definitely. So she had a little project, and so I went in there during Sunday school and helped her with that. And this might seem like something minor, but it's like God cares about the little things, okay? So I had this little bracelet, and it was like a little heart, and my sister gave it to me when we went on my mom's birthday trip, so all the sisters had one for the trip. It was just like a little dumb little girly thing that you do. So I was like, you know, I want to wear this bracelet and give it to somebody there. So I just prayed and said, God, can you show me somebody that I can give this to? And so during that Sunday school class time, there was a little child just completely withdrawn, didn't talk, was just looking down the whole time, very quiet. And when class was over, the teacher's like, okay, you know, leave. And they all left, and this little child stayed in there and just sat down looking at her seat. So she's like, you know, it's time for you to go. Junior church is starting. And then the little girl says, can you pray for my daddy? He's in the hospital, and I just want you to pray for him. So, you know, Miss Mimi's like, well, yes, come over here. And while they were praying, I'm snapping a little picture because it was just so precious. And after the little girl prayed with Miss Mimi, then, you know, she said, thank you. And so I'm like, God, this is the one that you want me to give this to. And so I told the little girl, you know, and two, she was so much different than the rest of the girls in the class. Even like her Sunday best wasn't everybody else's Sunday best. You could just see the poverty level of her. And so anyways, I pulled her aside and I said, you know, I want to give you something special. Somebody gave this to me that loved me a lot. And I want to give this to you to remind you with your dad in the hospital that God loves you. And there's a little heart on it. So I was like, every time you look down, you can remember that God loves you. And to me, that was a big thing because it was just a small little request that I asked God. But then he answered it in such a big and such a special way. And we got our picture together with the little girl. And she asked, was I going to be back? And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to be back. But anyways, Miss Mimi had texted me and just thanked me and just told me she comes from a really good home, like her parents love her, but just such poverty and just struggles with reading, and just the girl really struggled along. So it was just special that God had her ask me and to me to be in that place. But as I was thinking, like, man, that it was just so special to have that time with Miss Me, and that's not her name, but that's just what they call her, I guess, because it's a hard name. But it was special to have that time with Miss Mimi. And then I was just kind of thinking of our church. And we have a bunch of Miss Mimis. And we might not have like this wall of faith somewhere on the wall, but it's like in my heart that I was just thinking of, because she was older and dealing with those little kids, and she was just so patient. And I just think of our church. It seems like the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds have the brunt of the older ladies. But that's a sweet thing, right, ladies? I think y'all are old enough that you can embrace that. Like, Miss Mashad's in there. And I come out of nursery sometimes, and she's dealing with a child that's just naughty, that could just be sent to Brother Pitts, but she'll just sit there and deal with that child and kind of help it. And then I jump out of my car Sunday morning, and I'm rushing to go get our creamer out of the thing for our class, and I see my mom at the door, you know, greeting the little ones, you know, coming in. And Ms. Smith is in there, and Ms. Nixon. So many times, Ms. Nixon, in the morning when I'm leaving Sunday school, she's with a cane and she's still teaching, and I'll see her picking up trash that the bus kids have left running to the bus. And she's just faithfully, you know, picking that up, still teaching in class. And I was just like, all of those ladies are just very special to me, and truly are an example to me, and an encouragement. And just one more, like even Ms. Willis, like they've been on the prayer list. They haven't had the best health, and she was in nursery Sunday night when I wasn't there. So I'm like, I'm not even reminding her. I got Hannah McKee, and I was like, I'm not even gonna bother with it. Well, Hannah McKee's like, somebody's already in there, so they didn't need me. And I'm like, that's Miss Willis. Like, she knew she was on the schedule. I didn't even have to remind her. And then she just showed up. So, ladies, I thank you for just so many of y'all being such a testimony. And I could mention you all, but we'd be here all night, so I'm not going to. But so many of you, you know that you made an impact on my life. And I know that. God knows. And I thank you for that. And you are on the wall of faith in my heart. Thank you.
Amen. Reese, if you want to go ahead and come up. Again, their church is so much like ours in so many different ways. And one of the ways is just, like Ms. Kelly mentioned, just the faithfulness of the members. Ms. Mimi, for instance, Ms. Mimi was the one with the dogs as well, right? Ms. Mimi was the one with the pack of dogs coming at her, would just say, no, right? And they would just back off from her. Maybe she's done it. Maybe she knows all the dogs personally. But again, it's just the faithfulness, like Ms. Kelly said. They've got so many faithful members, and it's so much like our church, just how faithful so many of you are to serve in so many different ways. And again, thank you very much. Reese.
Hey, church. My name is Reese, if you don't know me. And this trip was really different from the last one. Last one was more fun because we went to Mount Salem. This one was more like work, I guess you could say. It was more for work than anything else. So that was really different, and I thought it was going to be like more scary of a thing, like everyone's going to be like trying to do the same thing at the same time, but it was really organized, so I was thankful for that. And I also knew that God was with us, because the first morning we got there, we went to bed at like 1, so it was like 3 our time, right?
Yeah, 3.
So whenever we woke up the next morning, I think I woke up on my own at 7, so that was a good thing, because if I don't wake up, no one's waking me up. So I was just really thankful for that I did wake up. And I'd like to thank Brother Parsons. I should have probably said that first. And Brother Fresellas. I was very thankful that we were able to go on this trip. Nothing really fun happened. I got second biggest rock. Okay. But I got the second biggest. It was a big accomplishment. We were able to go on the bus. It was my first time going on the bus. I didn't think I'd ever go on a bus. It was kind of cool because I was like, we're just going to show up and they're just going to come outside. I didn't know how it worked. But we just knock on their door. They're like, do you want to come? And they're like, yeah. So we invited them on. And it was pretty great. I like thank the church for supporting us while we were over there and all the prayers they all send over there whenever we were over there. So thank you.
Amen. Ethan, why don't you go ahead and head on up. Reese was one of the faithful hard workers that we had with. I was overseeing a lot of the boys, and we were the rock crew, I guess you could say. So we were cleaning up all the rocks, taking out the rocks. I mean, I think it was Reese and Sammy had the biggest hole. They won the award for the biggest hole dug to get a rock out. It was just incredible. But again, just thank you so much for all the young men that were out there that were just working so hard to get stuff done. And again, I did have to just make that reminder. Oftentimes when we think of missions, we think of whether it be soul winning or, you know, preaching or those type of different things. But I wanted to make sure that particularly our teenagers understood that all of that work is missions, right? The first day going out, I wanted to make sure to remind them particularly after the first half of the day, because, I mean, we got almost 2 days work done in the half of the day. But just to remind them that every bit that we do, the more that we do here, the more it allows them to go out and reach more souls. And the more that we make the, again, to be able to affect and to help the ministry. And again, thank you very much for the boys and the ladies as well that were working so hard there on the grounds and everything. Ethan.
Hello, my name's Ethan, and I was able to go to the missions trip, and it was a blessing being able to go and see the Navajo people and being able to help them and like work and all that stuff. And it was just such a blessing to be able to see like all the little kids and just being able to minister to them. And it was really fun going soul-winning, even though me and Nehemiah almost got attacked by a dog, but it was fun still. And we got to witness to some people, and it was just really nice. And I can't wait to go to another missions trip because I had fun and it really enjoyed my time and opened my eyes to that other people need to get saved too. Like, it was just, I liked it a lot, and it was just a blessing. And I just want to thank all you guys for letting us be able to go, to giving us, like donating to us, and just thank you to Mr. and Mrs. Fosellis for letting us be able to go, and the Parsons, and I really enjoyed myself, and I can't wait to go again.
I'm going to choose just one more. That's going to be Joseph real fast. Sorry, Jacqueline, I'm going to ask Joseph to come up, just because Brother Hipley already spoke about him. So, it's a blessing just to see Ethan even come out here. I mean, he said he wanted to even come up to say anything. But just to see, just overall, I just want to commend our teens in general, just how much they've grown in the Lord over the last year. In fact, we had all the different, you go ahead and pull that down by as best you can. But the opportunity to sing, and Ethan, for instance, is one of those. He went out on Sunday morning in the choir almost on his own. All right, he went out on his own with a few of the other teens, but that's for those of you that know Ethan, that's not what Ethan is. So what that means is that we can start to pull him into a lot of the specials and so on. But just to see how the Lord's just worked in the hearts of so many of our teenagers, not just on this trip, but before this trip. So Joseph, you're gonna be the last one, all right?
Hello, church family. My name is
Joseph. Speak up.
Hello, church family. My name is Joseph Peach. First, I want to thank Pastor Parsons for letting my family go on this mission trip, and Brother and Mrs. Vercellis for giving my family and I the opportunity to go on this mission trip. This trip was eye-opening for me to see people who live in the United States living without running water and electricity. Another opportunity we got was to come alongside and work with the chitties around the church and ranch, such as pulling weeds, putting TV stands together for the school, scrubbing floors in the dining hall, and many other projects that needed to be done. I did get to go out soul winning, and I was partnered with my brother Jeremiah and brother Chitty Jr. Unfortunately, I did not get to see anyone saved, but we were able to represent the gospel to several. Overall, this was a great opportunity for me to experience the mission field firsthand while I am seeking God's will for my life. Thank you, church family, for your prayers and allowing us to represent you.
Amen. Thank you again just for the church. And let me encourage you just simply to be in prayer for everyone that went, particularly our teenagers. Obviously, next week is teen camp. We're asking the Lord to really do something great and mighty there. And I believe their hearts are prepared and ready for God to do something. Many of them, I believe in one way or another, are feeling the pull or the tug to make an extra step to surrender to the Lord. And I ask that you please just be in prayer for them, right? Their souls that need to be saved. And for those souls to be reached, we need men of God to answer the call, right? And I'm challenging our teenagers to answer that call. God's never stopped calling. It's just, unfortunately, we get too distracted. We get too, unfortunately, sometimes it takes a week at camp to get away from our electronics, or a missions trip to get away from our electronics, to where we can kind of actually detach and listen to what God has for us. But God's calling, right? So let me encourage, whether it be anyone from a church, any of our teenagers, that if God's calling you in one way or another to have your own missions trip, or maybe to answer the call to be a missionary or a preacher, let me encourage you to do that. Maybe it's to be a missionary just to the person next door, right? Maybe it's to be a missionary to the next person that you see at the store. Or maybe it be to be a missionary to get involved in one of the ministries in the church that the Lord's been telling you to do so. And now's the time to actually do it. Again, missions reaches the world. But the world starts right here, right? And there's souls that need to be saved here. Praise the Lord for 40 souls in New Mexico, right? But there's 40 souls in Haines City that need to be saved this week. So let me encourage you, if the Lord's speaking your heart in any way whatsoever, let me encourage you. I'm sure we'll have an invitation. I'll turn everything over to Pastor here in just a moment. Answer the call, right? God hasn't stopped calling. It's unfortunate that some people have just not answered. Pastor.
I'll just say this, is I appreciate every one of the testimonies tonight, but the theme seems to be here at the end, just the need for workers. I spoke to Don Jr. today, and just one of the things that we spoke about was the great need of help. You know, their school is, they could have as many kids as they can get support for, because the kids can't afford to pay, and the parents can't afford to pay. And it's not like Florida used to have to sacrifice to put our kids in the Christian school, and we thank God for what it did. But again, with what our, you know, our governor has done and the different things with Step Up, but not everybody has that opportunity. And the sad fact is, you know, the greatest thing that they're missing right now, some of the things they put together, was right now they don't have people to teach the young people. So they're having to buy the most expensive curriculum they can buy in a Becca and put them in front of a video so that a young person can get an education, and that lessens the number of people that they can have in the classroom because of the lack of money. And so, again, they're trying to train, and, again, they desperately need people. They desperately need folks, and, again, they can't pay them. Again, people have to raise support. And I don't know. I mean, everybody we've mentioned a little bit, others have mentioned to me, but having been there and seen it, it's not like they don't have housing. They have houses. They have property. They said, we'll take care of, we'll help you with food. We can help you with housing. We can do all these other things, but, you know, we can't pay them because they have to raise their own money for support, and they have to do those things. And so, and just like our folks going out there and buses and things like that, they just need, they need people that have a mind to work to come pull alongside of them and pull with them. And again, I thank God for a place like this. I kidded around with him a little bit. I said, Brother Don, did you have to break the whip out and whip my people to work? Now, I said I could say that because I knew that's not what happened. I knew the group went out and put a shoulder to the work. And I thank God for what we have here and the people we have here, but we ought to pray for them. We went out and spent a week, and again, he said today, he said, your people did 3 months worth of work while they were here. And that's a blessing. But there's 12 months in a year. Amen. And they desperately need help. So let's not, as tonight, as we go into invitation, you know, God doesn't just call teenagers, he calls adults into the work of God. I'm living proof of it. And if God needs you somewhere else, then we want to be the church that sends you there. If God's speaking to your heart, you ought to yield to his call. Amen. And a call to go is a call to prepare. And that's why we have a college. And so for all of us tonight, again, this missions trip should be the beginning of something that works in our hearts. It should begin at the beginning of not just praying for our people that are there, but a continual prayer for our ministry that we've made a big investment in. And just the 40 souls that we saw saved while we were there, I want to see what God does throughout the year, what he does with the floors that were scrubbed, and what he does with the floors that were changed, and what God does with all those different things. So the testimonies tonight that were given are just scratching the surface, the beginning of what God is beginning to do of our investment in the work of God there. And so, again, I do believe that we're kind of beginning a long investment in the ministry there, and something that we've already been supporting them as missionaries, but it's a different thing when you support and then you go put hands to the work in it. Amen. And so again, tonight, the invitation will be this. You know, what is God calling you to do? It's only one life and it'll soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. I believe we live in a late hour, and you could go into politics if that's what God's called you to. Amen. And you could go into a lot of things, but again, giving God everything, amen, sometimes means I'm going to listen to God and I'm going to go. And I'm going to go there, and I'm going to put hands to the work. And then sometimes your eye will affect your heart. Some of these people that went on the trip, I without a doubt, I believe God's going to reach in their heart and use them mightily, and maybe not in New Mexico, but maybe somewhere else for the work of God. Maybe right here at home. Maybe it opened their eyes to something that we need to be doing here, that they're doing there. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as the musicians come. If nothing else, why don't we just come tonight and beg God to continue to work in the hearts of our teenagers during this missions trip, to continue to work in our hearts, and just ask God to do that. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior, we want to be able to take a Bible and show you that Jesus came from heaven as the Son of God, that He died on the cross and paid for your sin debt, that you might be able to be born again and have a home in heaven. If you're here and you need to be saved, you want to accept Christ, you've heard about others being saved in New Mexico, maybe tonight you need to accept Christ. I'll meet you right here in the front. As Brother Brandon sings, you step out and come.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Tonight, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let me just remind you this. Brother Hipley said, the fields are white unto harvest. But the end of that scripture, the continued statement by the Lord Jesus Christ, is the laborers are few. Tonight, maybe God is speaking to your heart, calling you into His work, calling you into His labor. Amen. Why don't you come and just seal that? Talk to Him about it. Maybe ask God to confirm it in your life and in your heart. Whatever God's asking you to do, why don't you step out and do it, as Brother Brandon sings.
Behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Let's close in prayer tonight. Dear Lord, we do thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. God, I thank You for the testimonies of God's people and the hands that they put to the work and what they saw and the people that moved in their hearts. Lord, there are folks that they left behind there that have made an impression upon their heart and lives, Lord. It reminds us of the folks that are faithful here, the ones that are faithful there. Lord, we see the work of God on bus ministries and soul winning that we see there, that we see here. Lord, help us to never stop doing the things that You've called us to do, that You've commanded us to do. Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, help us to be burdened about it. Lord, help our young people to really seek Your face and to pursue the avenues that which You have laid and put desires upon their heart. I pray for our church and our ministry, Lord. Help us not to tire. Help us not to wear out, but help us, God, to just press on until You come. We ask it in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.